Good morning. It is time to get up with Tampa Tom. A day removed from the title, there's one move he needs to make. If he wants to run it back, we'll tell you what that is. Plus, we'll also tell you the one thing the Chiefs absolutely have to fix to help their superhero quarterback get back on top. And the carousel is spinning. And when it stops, the entire NFL will look completely different. We're jumping on it with you this morning on a Tuesday as we get up with you starting right now. From New York, I am Mike Greenberg and delighted you've chosen to get up with us. We are jam-packed, working our way from this Super Bowl all the way towards the next one with this collection of acumen. Jeff Saturday is ready to go and he's got stories to start it off. The big swagoo is always fired up and Dan Graziano has the insight you need on a move Tom Brady may need to make immediately. Those are on the way as we begin our show with the Super Bowl champs. The Buccaneers and yesterday, their head coach Bruce Arians was talking about the impact that Tom Brady had on turning this team from a 7-9 squad into world champions. Here's what the coach had to say.
This was a very, very talented football team last year, but we really didn't know how to win. And when you bring a winner in and he's running the ship, it makes a total difference in your locker room. And knowing that he'd been there and done it, our guys believed it. And it changed our entire football team.
So this to me is fascinating. Because we'll hear that sometimes about not just Brady, he may be the greatest ever at it, but that players come in and it changes the culture. It changes the way things work. Well, Jeff Saturday can tell us exactly what that means with the story that you were telling me this morning. Jeff, it's fascinating.
Yeah, so listen, I know some coaches down there who coach in Indianapolis, and we've been talking all season about Tom Brady and some stories that kind of give you great examples of what he's talking about. How do you change culture? Well, they're on the bus, I think it was your Thursday or Friday of this week. This is Super Bowl week, right, Greeny? Like, you're leading up to the most intense game in most of these guys' career, not for Tom, but for everybody else, and they're back in the bus, and somebody makes the comment to Tom and Gronk about, hey, how does it feel being in your first Super Bowl without scandal, you know what I mean? Like, without any issues. And they said, both those guys laugh and they love it. And they look back and like, how does it feel to be in your first ever playoff win? You know what I mean? So the banter going back and forth is just a thing of beauty. And that humility that he plays with and that he kind of ingratiates to his teammates is just fantastic. And then they talked about like the serious side of Tom Brady, right? That when Antonio Brown came to the organization, to the Buccaneers, midway through the season now, and they had some struggles midway. It was Tom who goes and picks him up. It's Tom who lets him stay in his home and talks about, you know, hey man, you got to be part of this family. Leonard Fournette, who we know left Jacksonville under some issues, right, is he brings Fournette into the fold and talks about, hey Leonard, man, if you run your route like this, you know, if you're swinging out of the backfield this way, there's nobody in the world that can cover you. You're too good. You're too physical. As the season progressed and he became a bigger part of this offense, you know, Tom encouraged him in those things. And I think it's the both and in those scenarios that he's just one of the guys, that he's not an NFL superstar quarterback who's got too many things going on that he can't go get with his teammates. It's those things, Greeny, that change the culture in organizations. And like you said, when Bruce Arians said, hey, he's a winner, he's done this before. No, he hadn't done it before. He's done it 7 times, right? Winning it, not getting there, been there 10. How important is that? How much credibility does that give that man in that locker room and how everybody else pulls off of that? Man, just incredible stories. And that's the defining moment of who Tom Brady is.
And Marcus, you understand the dynamics of a locker room as well as anybody and just how important that kind of stuff is. And that is one big reason why the Buccaneers are where they are right now.
Absolutely. The believability. Gee, I think what Jeff said is a part of what we understand leadership to be. Not only, look, the main priority is winning in that league. Like, I don't want people to get it twisted. You could be all the leader you want to be, but if you're not out there doing your job at a high level, the words are just not falling on people's ears the same. And the fact that you have a guy that's going to come in where you know you can win with. You don't hope to win with him. You know you can win with him. All of the moves that were made, all of the things that he saw that they needed in order to win a championship, it was actually reaffirming to everyone else why Tom Brady has had the amount of success that he's had. Everybody plays with a little more juice when you have that guy. Everyone, yes. It permeates through the whole team. The coaching staff,
right.
The people that work in the support staff, it changes the dynamic of everything when you know you can win as opposed to hoping you can get the job done. And that's what Tom Brady provides more than anything.
It's fascinating. So those are some of the intangibles, and it was nice to be able to put examples to them. Meanwhile, Dan Graziano, there is one very tangible thing that Tom Brady can and maybe has to do almost immediately if this team is going to get back to the same place again next year. What is that?
Well, they could extend his contract. I mean, he signed through 2021. It's a fully guaranteed $25 million. If they do an extension, even just a one-year extension that would take him into his age 45 season, where he says he wants to be, they could save about, you know, the way that Buccaneers do contracts with roster bonuses instead of signing bonuses, they could save about $7 million on this year's cap. And you're looking at, I mean, every dollar is going to count. Chris Godwin is a free agent. Shaquille Barrett is a free agent. Levante David is a free agent. They have work to do to keep this roster together. So I would not be surprised at all to see the Buccaneers extend Tom Brady's contract for cap purposes and potentially because he wants to be there more than the initial 2 years. Man, that Jeff Saturday story, though, I mean, the four guys that the four touchdowns in the Super Bowl were scored by guys that Tom Brady made them sign, right? Fournette and Gronk and AB. Like, but just like, not just we need to get this guy, but AB, we need to get this guy, and now I'm going to help sell it in the locker room so that it works. Like,
that's
this guy's
right.
All in that organization. It's not just some mercenary they went out and got.
And he has also been known to be involved in salary cap manipulation. I don't mean that in a negative way over all those years in New England. So keep a close eye for that in Tampa. So that's the winning side of Sunday. Now there's the other side and the other superstar quarterback in this game. And it was a night to forget for Patrick Mahomes. It goes through all of the different ways. Finished the game 8 of 24 for 95 yards and a pick when he was under pressure. 1 of 12 for 4 yards when he was outside the pocket. According to our NFL Next Gen stats, he ran a total of 497 yards before his passes and sacks on Sunday. That is the most pre-throw, pre-sack yards by any quarterback in a game this year. And of course, he was pressured. It felt like every time he went back there, 29 pressures on the day on Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to do whatever I can to kind of look at the film and try to find ways to get better. I mean, obviously with our offense and the success that we've had, when teams see that the defensive plan that he had and how well it worked, they're obviously going to try to do the same thing. And so try to find ways to combat that and kind of evolution of our offense where we're going to have to do better things and be more efficient.
So I think the initial feeling coming out of that game, and understandably, was, well, you can't blame Mahomes. He was under siege. He did everything he could possibly do. But then I had a conversation on the radio yesterday with Howie Long, and as the day went on, I started to get a sense, and Jeff Saturday pick up this thought, maybe there were some things he and the Kansas City coaching staff could have done that might have changed the outcome, and they just wouldn't do it. What is it?
Yeah, they should have changed their game plan in the half. Like, you saw them come out of half, Greeny, and all of a sudden they decide to run the ball, and they're effective runs, right? When you have two high safeties and they're playing two-man a bunch underneath, they are forcing you to run the football. And it's like they wouldn't get out of their own way. And let me tell you, from high-producing offenses, I played on them my whole career, 14 years, we led the league or were close to being the top of the league in offense. When you come to the sidelines after kicking field goals or punts, the pressure you feel, Greeny, as you walk over there, there's no continuity, right? All of a sudden, you start asking, hey, man, were you open? What were you doing? The lines looking at each other. Hey, did you get your guy? Hey, is Patrick throwing the ball on time? Is he getting the ball out? Everybody asks those questions, and Mahomes actually said it in his press conference. I didn't get the ball out on time. I didn't know the routes receivers were going to run. The line didn't do a great job. All of those things could have been solved had they done what the defense was providing them. That's run the football, and then you find rhythm in your offense. You bring that safety down. You make sure they can't stay too high like they did. But I felt like the Chiefs went in and were stubborn with their game plan. And ultimately that cost them because, listen, you played into the Buccaneers, into their hands, into their defensive scheme and thought process. Let the front four rush, let the seven drop back, and then use the team speed to come down and smother them. But I'm just telling you, Greeny, like the pressure you put on yourself as an offense that has carried this football team for really 2 years, and all of a sudden nothing's working and everybody's pointing fingers, it becomes really difficult to dig yourself out of that hole.
You know, Marcus, and so it's an interesting thought because we talked all last week. You have to pick your poison with the Chiefs. Pick your poison. And then they just shut them down completely. And the answer, Jeff is telling us, and I want to hear your perspective as a defensive player, is take the check down, run the football, force the Buccaneers to come out of what they were doing. And for whatever reason, the Chiefs never really gave that a try.
They never did, G, and it was arrogance. I like what Jeff is talking about. It was just Kansas City Chiefs arrogance. They thought that this thing would just turn into what normally for them. They would get behind, figure it out, and be able to go bombs away and score touchdowns and win the Super Bowl. But look, I love what Jeff said. I'm not getting in the scheme. I know Jeff Saturday is going to love what I'm about to say. The line of scrimmage mattered. And the line of scrimmage,
yes,
there was a distinct advantage in this football game on both sides. I know we get enamored with the rush and the pressures on Patrick Mahomes. But when Tampa Bay brought in that extra old lineman and when Gronk was sealing the edges for Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones to get around them, that's when I knew the Kansas City Chiefs were in trouble. Look, we could talk scheme all we want. If you can't block them and if you can't run
it,
you not winning football games. And I feel so stupid because Groz is on here and he took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And all of my football acumen for years told my crazy self to sit on that stage and take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this football game, knowing what that line of scrimmage looked like. I got enamored with Patrick Mahomes and the passing game and how explosive they are and the things that I had seen the Chiefs do. And I forgot my roots. And I want to personally apologize
to
Jeff Saturday being another lineman on this show for not following what I know about football. And the bottom line is this. You can put all the track stars you want to put out there. You can put the best quarterback you want to put out there. If you drop a piece of meat in the middle of lions and it ain't nobody else to protect them, that piece of meat gonna get ate, bro. And that's what happened to Patrick Mahomes. We could look at Patrick Mahomes' interview. It looked like he had been hit by a bear after that game.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how he felt, man.
And that's reasonable. Again, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, when he ran it, was effective. He only had 9 carries in the game. And I get that it turns into a blowout in the second half. But there was plenty of time to try and establish that. Graziano, I know you had a thought. Go ahead.
Well, just too many offensive line injuries, right? I mean, Duvernay-Tardif opts out at the beginning of the year. They survive that. Mitchell Schwartz gets hurt early in the year. They survive that. Eric Fisher getting hurt in the AFC Championship game was the breaking point. And Swagoo, I did not think the Chiefs were only going to score 9 points because of that offensive line. I thought it might make the difference in a close game. So I really thought Mahomes would overcome it as well. But, I think that's what ended up doing it. They just couldn't get into anything because he was running immediately as soon as he got the ball.
Dan, take the credit. You had it right, for crying out loud. Don't deflect it. You had it right. You're the only person who had it right.
I'm going to get my bandana
and move on. All right, let's let Saturday feel a little bit better. He is bringing us this morning a very special Super Bowl pancake courtesy of Leonard Fournette. Go ahead, Jeff, take us through it.
Greeny, you just heard Swagoo talk about it. Snot bubble game. Watch this. Check down. It's a, oh my goodness. I mean, it is a freight train running you over. This is the difference in football games, men. When you get up there and that man puts his helmet right here in your chin and your body gives that shiver and it hits the ground, that, my friend, is a pancake. That is a thing of beauty. That's the physicality that won the game. All week, hey, we can just show that on loop and tell you why Tampa Bay put it on Kansas City, that type of physicality.
Marcus, what is
forever
what is that?
LSU?
You liked it, yeah.
Okay. Forever LSU, baby. Let's go.
He looked like LSU
pancakes as the day continues. So that's how this season ended. Now the offseason fully and truly and officially begins. And in case you're not aware, there is an enormous expectation of change this offseason at the quarterback position. As many as 18 quarterbacks could change teams, so says our Adam Schefter. So buckle up, because on this carousel, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
We've told you the quarterback carousel is going to spin. So here it comes.
In this game where the stakes could not possibly be higher, the first dominoes have fallen.
Matthew Stafford is a Ram. Jared Goff is a Lion.
But this quarterback carousel will keep on spinning. And the questions will ensure a wild ride that lasts the entire offseason. The dominant piece, of course, is Deshaun Watson, who absolutely wants out of Houston. What is no mystery, however, is that last year, the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers' replacement. All he did in response was have an MVP season. What will he make the team do now to keep him happy?
There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason.
Carson Wentz won a power struggle with Doug Peterson, but it looks like the Eagles will still move him. Want more? What if Matt Ryan ends up in Indy? How about Kirk Cousins shipped to San Francisco? And then Jimmy G reunited with Bill Belichick in Foxborough. Then there are the legends. Not this one, but these. What will Drew do? The Saint star has talked of retirement. It's not yet official. Big Ben has a decision to make. Will he keep plugging away in Pittsburgh at a reduced rate, or will he walk away? And speaking of decisions, the Cowboys and Dak have tens of millions of reasons to make one. Then there is the draft, where Mel and McShay project as many as 5 quarterbacks in round 1. Buckle up, because if you thought a season ending with Brady and Mahomes in the Super Bowl was wild, you ain't seen nothing yet. This carousel has just barely begun to spin. This is going to be a very interesting offseason. And Dan Graziano, let us start it with this. Shefty telling us the latest on Carson Wentz is to expect something to happen and expect it soon. What is the latest we're hearing out of Philadelphia?
Ooh. Yeah, Greeny, it absolutely could happen soon if the Eagles get what they're looking for. Right now, they're asking for more than teams are willing to pay, and that will slow things down if that doesn't change. The date to watch is March 20th. That's when the Eagles have to pay Carson Wentz a $10 million roster bonus. Now, obviously, that becomes a deadline because if you're going to trade him, you don't want to pay that. You'd rather have the acquiring team do it. So that gives them some time to hold firm on their demands, which I'm told so far have been more than the interested teams have been willing to pay. But if they get a couple teams in it, and we've heard the Bears, we've heard the Colts, if they get a couple teams in it, then they can definitely start to drive that price up.
So this is fascinating, Marcus. Yesterday, someone made the point on this program that the Eagles are acting like they're trading Matthew Stafford, when in reality, Carson Wentz is a lot closer to the Jared Goff side of that trade than he is the Stafford side of that trade. Marcus, how do you look at it?
It's actually, it's crazy, man. Like, I'm thinking about how to word Carson Wentz's situation or to think about it, because all I can think about is what happened in Philly after Doug Peterson was fired? Like, how did this become irreparable with ownership or whatever reason he wants to get away with the fan base or whatever? The bottom line is this. Carson Wentz has a lot of talent. We all know that. We all have seen Carson Wentz play at a very high level and even at times lift his team above what they probably should be. We saw that. But we also saw this year, and this year was concerning not because of quarterback play. I think quarterbacks can be fixed. I watched Baker Mayfield get fixed this year with Kevin Stefanski. I've seen it transpire, and guys get better being in the right system. I'm worried about Carson Wentz managing a locker room and managing when things get hard. That's my concern. So if he gets traded, a team has to know he's willing to accept the bad times as well as the good times and be able to cipher through that and still compete at a high level and play at a high level. That's what I want to see. It looks like it's done in Philly, obviously, with Graz and also Shefty reporting that. But I want to see Carson Wentz respond to adversity, because based on what I've seen so far this year with everything that transpired in Philly, he did not do well at that. And I do not believe you can be successful in this league at the quarterback position if I have to question if you're mentally tough enough when things get hard.
Well, look, we started this by talking about all the intangibles that Brady brings. And now it feels like we're having the opposite conversation and have been for a while. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, listen, I disagree. I mean, not with Swagoo, but with whoever's talking about this, the Jared Goff part of this equation. I mean, I think Carson Wentz has played better than Jared. Listen, Jared Goff was with one of the best offensive minds in our game right now in play calling and design to help him with a run game, offensive line, that kind of thing, good defense. So he kind of had everything. In Philly, they had a good defense, but their line was decimated with injuries. Carson Wentz is running for his life. You just saw what Mahomes looked like getting that kind of pressure in the Super Bowl. How about if that's every week? And that was kind of what happened with Wentz this season. He was getting it. And listen, he didn't play good. I'm not giving the guy an excuse card, but he played under some terrible circumstances. To act like he's not the same as Jared Goff, I just don't buy that. I think he's on the upside of this trade, and I do think teams will get him back. And to Swagoo's point, you can rehab a quarterback. You don't need him to be the guy in the locker room if you've already got that maturity in the locker room. I think he's a guy you go to.
All right, we will keep an eye on this. I have to take a quick break here. We have much more as we continue, including on the way, the interesting oversight from the Cowboys involving Dak Prescott that definitely got our attention and got his brother's attention as well. You will see it. You will be amazed. Plus, the Patriot way very much on the field on Sunday night. Did Tampa Tom's seventh ring change anything about the legacy of his former coach? We'll answer those questions, and we'll ask you to answer this one. My poll question today on Twitter, at ESPN Greeny: who you got winning next year's Super Bowl? Bucks, Chiefs, Packers, Rams. Some are going off the board. Cast your vote on Twitter. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, and to the victors go the spoils. And for Rob Gronkowski, that means a trip to Disney World. The celebration was on for Gronk. That looks like Thunder Mountain there that he's on. Oh, he's got the lightsaber as he's ready to go. Rob Gronkowski celebrating in style at Disney World yesterday as he once again is champion of the world. As we continue, they've been together 17 years. We will tell you why 18 is not a lock for Big Ben in Pittsburgh. That's next. Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
He told me he's going to go down to Tampa. And he hit me up and he's like, "Yo, would you come down?" And I was like, "I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to make a move."
Holy guacamole! He breaks the record. He's got his 23rd touchdown in the postseason from Tom Brady. Caught ball, touchdown Tampa Bay Buccaneers! Bucs win! Bucs win! Bucs win the Super Bowl!
Robbie G. Congrats, baby. I'll see you later.
Well, they are the two best friends anyone could have. So they were the big winners of the 2020 season. Let's go through who the biggest losers of the season were. Swagoo, who you got?
You know who it is, G. It's the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson wants out. He's been the only bright spot there outside of this guy who they decided to trade away. I don't know who allowed that to happen. And then when you think about the decisions this organization has made, look at what they got for DeAndre Hopkins. Mm. It's not only about getting rid of these. David Johnson, a second and a fourth round pick for arguably a top three receiver, if you could argue he's the number one guy in the league. The Houston Texans are the biggest loser, and they still got some losing to do.
That one's hard to argue with. Graziano, who have you got?
I got the Philadelphia Eagles. Look, 3 years ago, they're coming off a Super Bowl title. They made the playoffs each of the next 2 years. This year, they finished last in a division where no one finished 500. They fire the coach that helped them win that Super Bowl. The quarterback, who's the franchise quarterback, they just signed to a big contract a couple years ago, looks like he's on the way out. And this team looks like it's about to start from scratch.
I agree. Hard to argue with that one as well. How about you, Jeff Saturday?
Got to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Listen, offensive line that played soft after the hottest start in the NFL with a defense that could have carried you. They can't run the football. They have an aging quarterback who's got a huge cap number. They got a ton of questions to answer about their roster and how they can improve this football team. So disappointed how their season ended. I would say the Steelers were definitely the biggest loser of this year.
That's a fascinating one. I mean, life comes at you fast. They were 11-0, and now here they are, the biggest loser going into this offseason. And this is a very important little moment, a juncture for the Steelers, Dan Graziano, and their legendary quarterback. Tell us about it.
Jeff mentions that cap number. It's $41.25 million if he's on the team this year, the highest in the league. So the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger have to have a conversation about what to do about that. How do you lower that cap number? Well, one way they can lower it is to extend his contract and dump salary cap hits into future years. They could do that, and there's some sense that they will do that because of what he's meant to that franchise. But the most they can save by doing that is about $14 million, whereas if they cut him or he retires, they save $19 million on the cap. And that could make the difference for a team that has a lot of free agents to sign, a lot of great young players that are coming due for extensions. It's a tricky situation, and it could end up, there is a chance that it ends up with Ben Roethlisberger not being on the 2021 Steelers.
Fascinating. So I'm trying to read your face. Go.
The conundrum, G. Think about it, man. I think it's so fascinating for me when we look at this Pittsburgh Steelers case study with Ben Roethlisberger and how up in arms people are about what the Green Bay Packers did drafting Jordan Love. Like, this is what you're probably supposed to do, what Green Bay did. Now that we are sitting here with this situation in Pittsburgh, you got to make a definitive decision about your quarterback. And Ben has expressed his willingness to come back and play for less money. But with that being said, like Graz just laid out, they need so much more. And I'm not sure if Ben is still in that elite status where he can raise you above what you're lacking from an offensive or defensive standpoint. Don't forget, Bud Dupree got injured. He's going to be a free agent. He got to find money somewhere. So it's a lot of it's a lot of things that the Pittsburgh Steelers need to do. And to have this situation without any quarterback to turn to is a problem.
Yeah. It's important, you know, as we sort of read history, Jeff, Terry Bradshaw left the Steelers, the legendary former Steeler, under less than outstanding circumstances, and that relationship has really never been okay again, and that's 40 years ago. So you sort of have to walk a little bit of a fine line as you handle this. What do you think of it, Jeff Saturday?
No, what you just said is so right. Is the balance between the relationship with Ben post-career more important than what's happening right now? Because Dan just outlined it so swaggoo. The nucleus of this team is actually really good, right? You have a bunch of really young players who can win a lot of football games. And then you have this $41 million number that you just can't seem to find a way. There are a lot of quarterbacks who would like to step into a situation with the defense they have on that side of the ball and then working to repair this offensive line and run game and be able to help this team win. They got a lot of good talent on the outside at receiver. Listen, I'm just telling you, you got to worry about now, or you worry about a relationship post-career. I think now has to be the focus for the Steelers football team.
Now, this is not a team that ever rebuilds, right? They kind of reload on the fly. We'll see. There is a scenario here where even if both sides want it to happen, Roethlisberger doesn't come back. We'll talk more about that. Meanwhile, there's another team that you could put on the list of big losers from this season. That would be the Dallas Cowboys, who behaved like a win-now team and then didn't do any winning. And they and their star quarterback Dak Prescott, of course, are still nowhere near a deal to keep him in Dallas long-term. They were prohibited from negotiating a new deal during the season, but they now are allowed to resume contract talks now that the disappointing season has come to an end. And Dan, you talked about this on our show last week, and then Shefty had some reporting about it over the weekend. This does not seem to be getting any closer to getting a deal done here.
No, my sense is that they're really not in a significantly different place than they were last summer when the deadline passed without a deal. But look, the Cowboys are taking the position in negotiations that they have to figure out what the salary cap is going to be before they can do a deal. We can talk about whether that's just a negotiating position or whether that's true, but that's where they are. And Dak's side continues to want the shorter-term deal. The Cowboys continue to want the longer-term deal that allows them to defray the salary cap cost, and on it goes. The date is March 9th. That's the latest you can apply the franchise tag this year. The Cowboys will certainly do that if they don't have a deal in place by then. But their preference, and Dak Prescott's, is that a deal is done before then, and they will continue to work on it. Look, we can talk about how it's not close, and that's because they haven't made any progress. But fact of the matter is, one phone call could go from not close to almost done, right, if somebody just decides to take a step in the other's direction. But right now, there hasn't been any reason to do that, and March 9th is the date to keep an eye on.
Okay, so all that is out there. And then there is a part of this story, and I was reading about it this morning in the Dallas Morning News. It is very interesting, even if it isn't at all important. The Cowboys released a 32-second hype video on their official Twitter, their verified Twitter feed. It is a 32-second video showing Cowboys legends and a whole lot of moments of current Cowboys players. There are quite a few current Cowboys that are shown on this video, and very notably, one of them is not Dak Prescott. There are a combined total of zero shots of Dak Prescott on this video. There are quite a few players in here that you know well. There were some players on here whose names I had to look up. But that was the 32-second video. Dak's brother, Tad Prescott, friend of the show, quote-tweeted that, and with just that emoji of, like, isn't that interesting? So, once again, I want to make it clear. The notion that this somehow was Jerry Jones sending a message, no one is saying that. So it is interesting, if not important. Swagoo, what do you think of Dak being left off the 32-second Cowboys hype video?
Gee, you know I like to get emotional about the Cowboys. And I don't look at this as something small, man. Like,
For real.
Let me say this. Because no franchise, no organization makes a hype video without their quarterback when the quarterback is the best player on the team. Like, that...
That's right.
How many times did the social media team look at this and say, you know what, maybe we should put our franchise, quote-unquote, quarterback in the highlight video who broke his ankle trying to make a play in order to continue this team, to try to get this team a win. Like, so, yeah, call me petty. Call me emotional swagoo, but I know Green Bay Packers ain't doing no highlight video without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Before this season, the Philadelphia Eagles wouldn't have did a highlight video without Carson Wentz. The Los Angeles Rams wouldn't have did no highlight video without Jared Goff before that trade. Like, this, the tone, it's just the tone. Like, the social media team knows what Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys have been going through for the last 3 years. Three cycles. I know Jeff just said one phone call. We've been waiting on that damn phone call. I was 34 when I was waiting on that phone call. I'm 37 now.
Yes.
Okay? So the bottom line is this. I don't know who made the mistake with the social team, but it was a grave mistake. Read the room, social media team with Dallas, and understand that Dak Prescott should be in every good advertisement for your football team if you want him to be your quarterback.
What do you think, Jeff?
This is unbelievable. So when we were talking about this morning, I didn't realize, you know, when I just watch this thing and I see Dak's brother, you know, with the whole little emoji, this is a thing of beauty. Like, this could not have been a dumber thing to do for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, are you kidding me, man? Like, the video starts with every quarterback. Like, go back and watch the Colts highlights video. It's like Peyton breaking them down, right? Andrew Luck, any team. It's the centers who are looking to see if they're in there, right? Like, it'd be like me, like, man, did I get in there? I try to, like, freeze it, like, pause it, and then, like, show my kids. Look, I'm in there right there. That's me. That's 63. You see my three. It's just a part of it, but I'm in there, right? You can see my shoe right here. The quarterback is always the guy who's in it. Like, he can't get enough FaceTime. And the social media is like, it's a slight over. There's no story, Hugh. What are you talking about? There's no story. Jeff, it is the story. Like, that's a freaking joke. There's not a story. You said everything you needed to say.
Go ahead, Marcus, real quick.
They freaking put Troy Aikman in there. They put Troy Aikman in the highlight video, y'all. What are we doing?
They did.
What are we doing, social team?
It's unbelievable.
This happened. That's the point.
Unbelievable.
No one is suggesting that Jerry and Stephen Jones are behind this. So it is interesting, even if it isn't important. And I guarantee you, to some people, it is important. We'll take a break as we continue. The Patriot Way was very much on the field on Sunday night. Did Tampa Tom's seventh change anything about the legacy of those he left behind? We're talking about it. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
I do enjoy that open. All right, it is time for a Super Bowl edition of Swagoo Says, where you get to hear what other people say, and then Swagoo tells you what they really meant. It begins with this. After the game, Leonard Fournette was asked about the Bucs' preparation going into the Super Bowl. Here's what he said.
Tom preached all week, you know, they're third or first in the lead. Y'all have the carries, y'all have the catch too. Their run defense wasn't that good. So, I take pride in that, you know, knowing those guys don't want to tackle. And, you know, sometimes you make a guy miss, but at the same time, punch him in the mouth at the end of the game, they're not going to want to tackle. And that's exactly what happened.
That's what he said. What does Swagoo say?
Translation, Tom told me they scared and they don't want a piece of Leonard Fournette, the guy that they took fourth in the draft. So I listened to Tom and I went out there and just dominated people, ran through them. I get it out of the mud. I'm from Louisiana. I'm from that place where you have to get it out of the mud. Definition to get it out of the mud. It's hard to get out of mud if you're stuck in it, so you got to go to work and get out of it. That's what Leonard Fournette is saying. But basically, Tom Brady told Leonard Fournette the Kansas City Chiefs were scared, and Leonard Fournette went and made sure they stayed scared.
And there's really very little way to argue with it. He's absolutely right. All right, next one is Tampa safety Antoine Winfield Jr., who was asked after the game about giving the deuces to Tyreek Hill. This is what he had to say.
The taunting, man, it's something I just had to do. When we played him earlier, you know, Hill went off on us. He backflipped in front of my face, gave me the peace sign. So it was only right that I gave him the peace sign right back to him. at this moment. It felt amazing to be able to do that. Not even going to lie.
That's what he said. Swaggoo, what do you say?
I just became a more of an Antoine Whitfield Jr. fan. Tyreek Hill flipping, throwing up the peace sign, the backflip symbolizes flipping the bird, telling everybody you know what. So Winfield thought that I would throw the peace sign up to you in the Super Bowl. And gee, you know what that peace sign meant in the Super Bowl when Antoine Winfield threw it up? Rest in peace to your season, Kansas City Chiefs and Tyreek Hill. Because we just put you under the ground, bro. Super Bowl champs.
Here's what I don't get, Marcus. All kidding aside, if that's taunting after the play, how in the world is it not taunting during the play? If Tyreek Hill is going to, which I have no problem with, it's the same thing.
Gee, let's not get into it because I'm going to get in my feelings about offensive and defensive guys, and then me and you going to have to do a whole nother damn segment, and we're going to run out of time on this show. It ain't no way in hell they was supposed to throw no flag on that man for doing that in the Super Bowl after them damn refs know what Tyreek Hill did. That's in right. Week 12 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they wouldn't let Winfield Jr. get his peace sign off. But like I said, rest in peace to your season, Tyreek Hill.
All right, I love it. All right, I'm with you. All right, one more. Bruce Arians went on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and he was asked what it's like having another coach on the staff with Brady essentially running the team. Here's what he said.
I tell guys all the time, hey, you're running your route, man. Pump your arms. Okay, coach. Tom says, hey, when you came out of your route, you got to pump your arms. Okay, Tom. And they do it. Man, dude has been telling you that for 3 weeks.
That's really funny. That's what he said. What does Swaggoo say?
So B.A. basically saying, Jason Light and Glazer family, I did not know y'all were bringing him in to be the head coach and demote me to assistant coach. But if you are going to bring Tom Brady in and not tell me he the head coach, but he really the head coach, he better get me a damn ring. So B.A. got the best deal out of the whole thing. He did not have to coach. All he had to do was look at the movie play out and unfold. He got a ring. Tom Brady was the head coach. Other guys responded to him. B.A., shout out to you for just being the manager. Because they hired a head coach, didn't tell you you was fired, but you get a Super Bowl ring out the end of it. So everything is all good.
That's outstanding. Look, there's so many different ways to take that. I completely agree. Meanwhile, so a very interesting number that we can show you here. And we got this from John Orand of Sports Business Journal. These are the Super Bowl ratings, the television ratings for two interesting markets. And you cannot help but notice that more people, a greater percentage of people, and thus by definition more people in Boston, watched Tom Brady win that Super Bowl than they did in Tampa. Which just gets us to thinking about the notion of what this game means to the people in New England. Obviously, you see the way the fans react. But Jeff, as far as the what it means to the legacy of the people he left behind, most notably the coach that he left behind, what does what Brady did mean?
It doesn't change it a bit, Greeny. Like, we had this conversation, I've told you, it's an and conversation, right? It's Tom Brady is an incredible quarterback, most winning Super Bowl quarterback, Super Bowl MVPs, all those kinds of things. But don't forget, his 6 championships in New England, top 10 defense. His one Sunday night, top 10 defense. He understands, everybody else understands, it takes a team. Bill Belichick built those teams for dang near 20 years to help Tom Brady win those Super Bowls. It takes both. It is an and conversation. It is not an or. And I appreciate Tom's legacy. I appreciate what he did in Tampa. And to be honest, I was at the game. There were a ton of New England Tom Brady jerseys in the stands, which shocked me a little bit. But they understand what Tom's legacy is and what Bill Belichick's legacy is. You got to put them together, man. It was an incredible run. It won't be duplicated. Don't disrespect it by taking one or the other.
Marcus, I see you nodding your head. You agree?
Not fully. I understand what Jeff is saying, obviously, about Belichick putting the teams together, but the common denominator was Tom Brady. And I don't care what nobody says. I'm like that. Like, that's going to be me until I finish covering sports and they put me in the dirt. I love Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson considered the greatest coach in NBA history. Phil Jackson also coached Jordan and Kobe and Shaq. okay? Let's not get it twisted about the players having to go out there and actually execute. I always want to mention the Ty Laws and the Richard Seymours and the Will Forks and all of that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is this. After they were gone, Tom Brady was still there winning Super Bowls. Tom Brady left and went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl. So for the sake of making this about Brady versus Belichick, or was it more Brady or more Belichick, for Marcus Spears, the swaggoo, it will always be the players. You could coach your tail off. If your players suck, you ain't winning nothing. And in this league, if you don't have Tom Brady, it ain't nobody in the world that can tell me that the New England Patriots go to all of those Super Bowls and win six of them. You will never get me to believe it. Don't argue with me about it. Don't tell me all of the extenuating circumstances. Tom Brady is more impactful to what the New England Patriots did than Bill Belichick was, and that is my final answer.
I will just say this to my favorite LSU Tiger. They used to say about the legendary Alabama coach Bear Bryant, he could take your players and beat his players. He could take his players and beat your players. I have a feeling you don't agree with that. And Graziano, you sent a really interesting note that I liked. The way you phrased it, I really liked.
Yeah, look, this year proves that Tom Brady's greatness and his place in history are completely unassailable, independent of Bill Belichick. He went and did it on his own. So
right.
that's him. That's Tom, and that's in that bucket. It does not prove the opposite of Belichick, right? I mean, this year, Belichick has spoken publicly about how this was going to be the pay the piper year on the salary cap. We have to see how he does rebuilding the Patriots with a different quarterback before we can make any kind of sweeping assessment of what he is without Tom Brady.
All right, it's a good way to look at it. I have to take a break. We have a huge hour coming your way here on Get Up on ESPN. Much more football as we go, including why it might be awfully hard for Patrick Mahomes to follow Tom Brady's Super Bowl path. And it has nothing to do with Mahomes. We'll give you the answers to the test as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.